You are listening to a sermon by Henry Neufeld, recorded on Sunday, September 18th, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you. I should warn you about a couple of things. One is that if you want a sermon on an exposition of Scripture, you're not going to get it from me. The second thing is that sometimes people, especially the one I'm married to, comment that when I speak, the volume of my voice trails off at the end of a sentence. So if I do that and you think you missed something important, you can wave at me or do something and I will try to articulate more clearly. Earlier this week, Paul Thiessen mailed out a package from Malcolm Gladwell, which he talks about refugees. And if you haven't listened to it, I would encourage you to. It's a very moving one. I emailed him and I said something to the effect that I thought you could read that and not bother coming to church this morning. At any rate, World Refugee Day in June gets very little attention in our media. The British author William Shawcross wrote in 1984, "Refugees spill across the globe. They constitute a fourth world, one whose inhabitants have no representation, over which they have no control. No one even knows how many refugees there are." Now, to update the statistics that Veronica had, 30 years ago there were an estimated 20 million refugees in the world. A few months ago the estimates were 100 million displaced persons, including refugees. A displaced person is one who is forced to leave home but stays in his home country. For instance, people who leave because of hurricanes, floods, fires, that type of thing. Or Ukraine today, many people from the war areas of Ukraine would move to calmer areas. Those are considered displaced persons, not refugees. From 1985 to 88, Tina and I worked in a refugee camp in Thailand. And I have a few stories I want to share about refugees, some from that experience. Duke left Vietnam after the end of the war in 1975. We first met him this year, earlier this year, because he lives in Richmond, not far from our home. It was a convoluted process that led to our meeting. And that process involved a Vietnamese dentist in Edmonton, a retired immigration officer in Ottawa, the Center for Refugee Studies at Carleton University, and Duke in Richmond. Duke had been a member of the South Vietnamese military. He was sent to a re-education camp after the North Vietnamese won the war. To his surprise, he was released after a year. But he and some friends realized that they were not safe in that country. So they rebuilt an old boat, and if we could have a picture of that boat, or a picture of a boat, not that boat. They installed a motor and a rudder, and he directed the boat towards Malaysia. 21 people joined them on that journey. Now, refugee boats in Southeast Asia, much like that one, though that's not the one he was on. This is a picture we took in South Thailand on the South China Sea, where the boat had arrived and hit some rocks and it was disintegrating. And the next time we were in that area, there was nothing left of that boat. But refugee boats in South Asia, South China Sea, are targeted by fishermen and pirates. They rob, they rape, and they kill with virtually no consequences. Pillaging boats was much more profitable than fishing. When they got near Malaysia, Duke's boat was attacked, not by pirates, but by two Malaysian patrol boats. Of the 21 people aboard, three survived. Sorry, I got choked up when I talk about some of this. And Duke and his friend managed to reach the land after 13 hours in the sea, clinging to a log in a sea filled with sharks and jellyfish. He was accepted as a refugee by Canada, and he now lives in Richmond. He's retired, and he and his wife have two children, both university educated at UBC. Most of the boats that carried refugees were old and were derelict. That's because if they would be caught, there's no chance of it being used again, it would be destroyed. And many of the passengers on the boats have to pay exorbitant amounts of money to get on the boat. And they often have to commit themselves to paying back that money by working as indentured laborers at restaurants and sweatshops in North America. His story reminded me of a teenage lad in our refugee camp. His boat was also attacked by pirates. He had no money or gold, so he was of no value to the pirates. They threw him overboard. He swam after the boat and climbed back on. They threw him off again. This was repeated 5 times. Finally, they let him stay. The waters of the South China Sea are, fortunately, lukewarm. The world refugee situation is increasingly grim. Today, we have refugees who flee natural disasters, floods, hurricanes, wildfires, poverty, and political or religious persecution. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees said there are only 3 things you can do with a refugee. You can return him to his home country, you can resettle him in a neighboring country, or he can be resettled in a faraway, usually Western country. And no matter how much thinking, limited thinking I've done, I can't come up with another option. The preference is also a preference, that is the order of preference for resettling refugees. Preferably you should be able to go home. And most refugees say, if it was safe, I wouldn't mind going home. Resettlement in a neighboring country is desirable because the country is probably would minimize changes demanded in cultural, linguistic, climate and religious factors. Think of a refugee from Asia or Africa moving to a North American or a Western country. The adjustments in a Western country are enormous. The next slide is a picture of a fence in a refugee camp. Now, fences have different purposes. A Trump's wall or border fence is designed to keep people out. But when we were in Texas a few years ago, we were surprised to see large gaps in the fence. This was done deliberately to allow people to cross at specific places and make it easier for border patrol officials to capture people crossing into the states. In the refugee camp, fences served as clotheslines and meat drying ovens, with allocations of 1,200 calories a day. Their food could include chicken legs, fish, vegetables, charcoal, and cooking oil. There weren't many overweight refugees. Oh, this slide shows fish being dried in a tropical storm. When Stephanie Stobie, who was a refugee and is working she works at the Menno Simons College in Winnipeg, but she's associated with the Carleton University Center collecting material from that era, saw this picture, she was quite excited. She called me and we had quite a discussion because she recalls her family leaving Laos for Thailand. She recalls drying fish just like that. Stephanie lived at the Menno Simons Center, as did her husband, Carl Stobie. They're both in Winnipeg. In Jesus' day, the world was much smaller. His parents could walk to Egypt after Herod vowed to kill all male kids under two. Today, with modern travel, it's a global problem. Refugees, if they have access to funds, can buy their way to a faraway country and hopefully safety. The biblical principles requiring us to be welcoming to strangers are broad-reaching and unambiguous. So it becomes overwhelming when we look at our world. We can't all go to Myanmar, to Bangladesh, to Ethiopia, Pakistan, or the Mexico-US border to work with refugees. But we can engage in small, seeming inconsequential acts of kindness wherever we are. Carl told us that compassion includes noticing a need. That was a couple weeks ago when Carl spoke. Noticing a need, feeling that something should be done, and responding to that need. Malcolm Gladwell, in that tape I referred to, calls it as it requires a suspension of indifference, which is a remarkable concept. One more short story. What's the difference between the Alliance Church in Canada and the Mennonites? A young lady who was a refugee in our camp came to me one day and said, "You're a Mennonite?" "Yes." "That's a Christian church." I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I'm being sponsored by an Alliance Church. So what are they? And how are they and Mennonites the same? What are they, how do you compare them?" And I thought, how do I explain this to a Buddhist girl who knows virtually nothing about Christianity? So I said, "You're Cambodian?" "Yes." "Cambodian Buddhist?" "Yes." "So now you're in Thailand. Are Cambodian Buddhists any different than Thai Buddhists?" She thought for a moment and she said, "A little bit, but not much." And I said, "That's the difference between the Mennonites and the Alliance. They're both Christian churches, a little bit different." And she is sponsored by an Alliance church in Alberta. I want to close with a prayer that I found on the internet. Prayer for refugees. "Lord, help us to remember those who will go to sleep unfed and unwelcome, strangers in foreign lands, people who have fled for their lives and are far from their homes. We pray for those who are escaping persecution and conflict, having fled death, torture, or ruthless exploitation. Many carry wounds, mental and physical, and have suffered greatly. Lord, give us more of your compassion for their plight. Soften our hearts to their situation and help us to follow your lead in seeking justice and mercy on their behalf. We pray for an end to the wars, poverty, and human rights abuses that drive desperate people to become refugees in the first place. We give thanks for people working in troubled countries and ask for more of your blessings so we can bring life, dignity, and hope to those that remain. We thank you that you are the Lord of all the earth and all its people are loved by you. We pray these things in the name of your Son, who himself was born into the troubled life of a refugee. Amen. I should have mentioned that Carl works with refugees on behalf of our church, and a number of people volunteer at the Refugee Food Bank at Sherbrooke Church every week. So we do have significant involvement with refugees. And Janice mentioned one organization that works with refugees that we have supported financially. Thank you.